Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayan Deng Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Tuesday, July 10th, 2018. Some church leaders and activists oppose parts of the latest power-sharing proposal. And a new report accuses the government of brutally attacking civilians a few months ago.
Civilians were targeted, with the elderly, people with disabilities, and very young children killed in horrific acts of violence.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Religious and civil society leaders attending peace talks in Khartoum say the Entebbe power-sharing proposal is a setback on the road to peace in South Sudan. The leaders say if the proposal is implemented, it will undercut the principle of inclusivity. Bishop Tombe of the South Sudan Council of Churches says if parties are stuck, IGAD should do what he calls a public consultation with the people of South Sudan. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Rajab Mohandis, who has been attending the IGAD talks as civil society activist since last year, says the Entebbe proposal would kill the spirit of inclusivity among various communities of South Sudan. Mohandis says the suggestions made in the Entebbe proposal do not take into account the aspirations of many South Sudanese.
South Sudan is a multi-diverse country, and so you will find diversity in terms of regions, you'll find diversity in terms of ethnicity, you'll find diversity in terms of gender and other contexts. And so all these have not been taken into consideration by this proposal from Entebbe.
The Entebbe proposal on power sharing recommends four vice presidents, which include rebel leader Riek Machar, who would be reinstated to his position of first vice president. The current first vice president, Taban Deng Gai, would become vice president. Mohandis points out that Deng and Machar are both from the former unity state and are from the same ethnicity. And he disagrees with the suggestion to increase number of members of parliament from 400 to more than 500, which he calls unrealistic.
Such a bloated parliament for a population of about 13 million people is too much for South Sudan. When you look at the region, Ethiopia has over 100 million people and it doesn't have even up to 500 members of parliament. So why would South Sudan, with only 13 million people, be burdened with such a huge parliament?
Mohandis blames South Sudan's leaders for not reaching a consensus, something he says invites external suggestions which may not be good for South Sudanese.
The parties should take responsibility to expedite the process and quickly reach a decision among themselves so that it doesn't give room for suggestions that may not be practical in the case of South Sudan to be floated by anyone else.
Bishop Enoch Tombe of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan represents the South Sudan Council of Churches at the talks. He says IGAD should seek help from South Sudanese on the way forward.
These parties just remained on the same station since February 2018. The suggestion was that if they were brought here, at least for change of venue to Khartoum, they would change. But now we have been told that the position remains the same. So we are saying, okay, why don't you consult the people? This special envoy should take this proposal to the people. Go to Marakal, go to Wau, and go to Juba.
According to the Sudanese mediation team's timetable, the current round of talks in Khartoum is scheduled to end tomorrow. Both Mohandis and Bishop Tombe say there is a possibility of extending the talks before the warring parties travel to Nairobi in the coming days for what's been called a continuation of the talks. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum, Sudan.
It's not clear when Kiir and Machar will resume talks, but they are expected to meet in Kenya. A group of women activists who are also delegates at the IGAD-led peace talks in the Sudanese capital Khartoum say they will only accept a peace deal that is inclusive. The women are advising IGAD mediators to refrain from forcing the warring parties to sign deals under pressure, but say the talks have produced some progress. Dimo Silva Aurelio has this report for VOA from Juba.
The women activists highlighted successes that have come out of the Khartoum talks in a Monday statement. Frida Lopidia is a representative of one of the women's groups at the ongoing peace process in Sudan. She says the negotiations are progressing well and she remains optimistic.
Our expectations of all parties remain high. We are hopeful and have confidence that this process could yield peace if interests of ordinary South Sudanese are placed above those of individuals and parties.
Lopidia says women in South Sudan want an inclusive peace deal that can be fully implemented to avoid another conflict.
We recognize the tireless efforts of mediators to attain peace for South Sudan. However, we urge the mediators to refrain from subjecting the parties to signing an agreement under duress. We want to categorically state that the people of South Sudan do not deserve an agreement that cannot be implemented.
Lopidia says her group condemns the use of violence to resolve South Sudan's conflict and insists that genuine dialogue can restore peace and stability in South Sudan.
We call on all parties to adhere to the agreement on cessation of hostilities, silence the gun, and resist any tendency to violate truth.
The activists commend the parties for signing the Khartoum Declaration Agreement on June 27th and the July 6th Agreement on the Transitional Security Arrangements. Rebel leader Riek Machar and President Salva Kiir met in Entebbe on Saturday and verbally agreed on a power-sharing proposal, but opposition groups rejected the proposal on Monday. Lopidia says it is unclear why the opposition parties have rejected the latest power-sharing proposal.
The opposition parties, I think most of them, are not in agreement with the Entebbe proposal, which for us as women and civil society also find it very difficult to understand or very difficult to accept that is a good proposal that will take the country forward.
Lopidia says the Entebbe meeting is not addressing the issues that have been resolved in the Khartoum Declaration.
We expected that the proposal in Entebbe will build on the progress that is already made in Khartoum. When the principals left Sudan to go to Entebbe, there was a lot of optimism among people, especially the delegates and those who were left in Khartoum, that probably going to Kampala will strengthen what has already been achieved in Khartoum. But then when we heard the outcome of Entebbe, it really shocked a lot of people. It really surprised people.
Lopidia says there is still hope the warring parties will reach a political settlement on the remaining issues through dialogue. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
The UN Human Rights Office accuses the South Sudanese government and its allies of brutally and deliberately attacking civilians, particularly women and children, in what it says appears to be a scorched earth policy against opposition forces in parts of Unity State. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from the launch of a report in Geneva.
UN human rights monitors have documented acts of gross human rights violations and unspeakable brutality against civilians by government and associated forces, as well as by armed youth in multiple areas in South Sudan's southern Unity State. They say at least 232 civilians were killed and many more injured during the attacks, which took place in opposition-controlled areas between April 16th and May 24th. UN Human Rights spokeswoman Ravina Shamdasani says the deliberate and ruthless assaults may amount to war crimes.
Civilians were targeted, with the elderly, people with disabilities, and very young children killed in horrific acts of violence. Some hung from trees, and others burned alive in their own homes. The report also documents the use of sexual violence as a weapon of war, with at least 120 women and girls raped or gang-raped, including children as young as 4.
Shamdasani says survivors describe a brutal, ruthless campaign by attackers aimed at punishing and terrorizing them so they never return to their lands and homes. She says this suggests the government was pursuing a scorched-earth approach to rid itself of its perceived enemies. UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Zayed Raad Al Hussein is calling on the government to stop all attacks against civilians. He urges the government to launch investigations and to hold perpetrators of what he calls revolting acts against defenseless civilians accountable for their crimes. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Another political party is formed in South Sudan. Find out more when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you think most people are trustworthy?
I really do not know. I really can't tell. But I am a trustworthy person.
No, because human beings change, and anyone can be tempted to do anything, maybe out of frustration.
I don't think that most of the people are trustworthy because, you know, some people, they wave from position to position due to threat or sometimes due to circumstances that come across them.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say I'll give a 6. So let's say above 50% are trustworthy.
Some people are trustworthy and some are not, because you can put your trust in someone while maybe they would think negatively about you, while other people would think positively about you.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus, and it's time for our Tuesday health segment. And today, we're talking about the controversy over promoting breastfeeding. World health officials reported to be stunned when the U.S. opposed a resolution for countries to encourage breastfeeding, especially when decades of research showed that it is best for both mothers and babies. VOA's Carol Pearson spoke to two prominent doctors who wholly support the U.N. resolution based on scientific studies.
Millions of babies around the world would thrive if only they received mother's milk for the first 6 months of life, or even longer. The findings come from the largest and most detailed analysis of the benefits of breastfeeding. It was published in the Lancet Medical Journal 2 years ago. The study showed breastfeeding could save the lives of 800,000 babies per year. Dr. Dennis Kuo heads the General Pediatrics Unit at the University of Buffalo Medical Center. Speaking via Skype, he says while women need options, science is clearly on the side of breastfeeding.
The science of breastfeeding has been established for several decades.
Dr. Joan Younger Meek of the Florida State University College of Medicine said in a Skype interview, breastfeeding improves nutrition, decreases infections, and is cheaper than formula.
We know that right after birth, when the mother puts the baby to breast, the baby gets the colostrum, the early milk that the mother produces, and it's very high in immunoglobulins that protect the baby from infection. So that milk is critically important for babies. And then continued exclusive breastfeeding continues to support those health benefits for the baby.
For women to use infant formula, they need clean water, not just for the formula, but the bottles need to be clean. The nipples and spoons used to measure formula also need to be clean. If not, the baby can get diarrhea, which can be fatal. Dr. Kuo says because formula is expensive, if a mother tries to stretch it out, the baby will not get enough to eat.
The benefits of breastfeeding are extraordinarily high to be able to protect against these illnesses.
Breastfed babies have fewer ear infections, fewer digestive problems. They grow differently. Breast milk even protects children from obesity later in life. Dr. Dennis Kuo says formulas have improved over time with the addition of fatty acids and better quality proteins. But, he says, nothing can replace breast milk.
I appreciate that formulas continually do get better and better, but I have noticed that even our colleagues who work in the formula industry acknowledge that breast milk is the gold standard.
Breastfeeding also has clear benefits for the mother as well. For one thing, it reduces the chance that she'll hemorrhage after giving birth. Doctors say women need to be supported by their physicians, families, communities, and by their employers in order to breastfeed their babies successfully so the babies can thrive. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
The leader of a new group calling itself the United People's Democratic Movement, or UPDM, is calling on the African Union and the United Nations to support the search for peace in South Sudan. Constantine Obura Bartel says the IGAD-led mediation should not be left in the hands of South Sudan's neighboring countries, who have various vested interests.
I'm representing UPDM, which is an organization that was set up about 3 years ago by a number of concerned South Sudanese, both in the country and in the diaspora.
And the UPDM stands for what? It's an acronym, and we don't know what it stands for.
It's an acronym for the United People's Democratic Movement.
There was the People's Democratic Movement headed by Dr. Hakim Woi. Is this an offshoot of that group?
Well, it was set up together, and it is indeed an offshoot. We decided to continue as a UPDM because of a number of issues that came up, some irreconcilable differences. But the majority of the people, of course, of the executive, are with UPDM.
You are not in South Sudan. You are definitely abroad. And you are forming a group that is going to operate in South Sudan. Somebody in Juba will ask you about the legality of your group. Is it legal, registered in South Sudan?
Yes, it is a legal organization. I've been in South Sudan. I went back, left my comfortable job in 2008. I was there throughout. I was there during the independence and only had to leave because of the circumstances to come back. But we have just continued that process at the moment. And given the opportunity, we'll be back on the ground.
And there are so many groups coming up these days. You have the South Sudan Opposition Alliance. You have South Sudan United Front. There are so many. But what is the end game here? Are we forming this group so that we can, if you like, shoot ourselves into a government position in Juba?
Well, that will be unfortunate because talking to the other groups, I think every group has a legitimate cause, whether it's a national or a regional cause. But the good news is that most of these groups are now united under the opposition alliance. Although there are these fractures, the leaders have really done well to stick together and send a unified message.
All these groups that are coming up, most of them have a political wing and a military wing. Are you also in the same boat? Do you have a military wing?
No, we don't have a military wing, but of course, so we have some ideas on security reform. We have some ideas on how the armies should be formed. We have ideas on the cantonment, which we think are really very important.
And you're aware that most of these groups in South Sudan are armed and the politics is militarized in nature. How are you going to survive with commanders who are armed to their teeth?
Well, that is really why the security sector reform is really important, and the DDR, demilitarization, is a very important aspect. And it is something that should not be left to the neighbors of South Sudan. And that's where the international community really have to do, put more effort to disarm these groups. The other thing is, if these groups get aligned to some of these fractured political entities, then it will be easier to reach them also, because I think there are many people with lots of grievances that needs to be attended to.
That's Constantine Obura Bartel, interim chairman of the United Democratic People's Movement. He was speaking with my colleague John Tanza from Geneva earlier today. Some residents of Yeetown say South Sudanese leaders must fight corruption and promote good governance, rule of law, and service delivery in the country. The residents say since the country gained independence in 2011, they have not enjoyed the fruits of the independence. Daniel Friday Martin has this story for VOA from Ye.
The South Sudan government cancelled all independence anniversary celebrations yesterday due to economic hardship and political instability in the country. The decision was made during the weekly Council of Ministers meeting and announced last week by the Cabinet Minister Martin Elia Lomuro. Lomuro told reporters in Juba the government cannot afford to spend money on the celebration when many families are struggling to survive in the country. Yeetown resident Samuel Kemi says the government will concentrate on fighting corruption, deliver basic services to the people, and build infrastructure including schools, health centers, and a road network. Kemi says the leaders must stop government corruption and serve the South Sudanese people.
Before our independence, we were facing the same challenges as we are facing right now. As we all know, when you talk about independence, it does not mean that other people should enjoy, then others should be left behind. But we all need to enjoy whatever we have been cultivating for. When you are put in that position, not to just satisfy what your interest. So you cannot fulfill your interest when you see your people are suffering. Like now, what we are suffering. People are saying the dollar is running up. It's because of the corruption. That's why we see all these things happen. But we need to stop that. South Sudan was ranked the most corrupt country.
24-year-old Ye resident Margaret Semes says since South Sudan gained independence in 2011, the country's infrastructure remained poor and citizens are subjected to immense suffering.
As we are seeing now, things are not okay. When we look at our roads, roads are not all that fine. Let me say even they are poor. We need to develop the roads. Let them at least do something like making borehole for the people to drink clean water, because right now if you go to the hospitals, you find a lot of people there suffering too. When we look at the environment, it's backwards, and we need to do something so that we can also be considered as a country.
Margaret says the leaders will stop referring to the country as a young nation because it is blessed with mineral resources which could be explored for developing rural areas. Susan Knight, another resident in Yeetown, says the warring parties must silence their guns and embark on development projects.
When you look into schools nowadays, schools are dying, there are no teachers, and even people are not going to school. Some of them are in deep villages, they fear to come back to the town. And then let this celebration be of a change to us. Let this celebration be of a hope to us. We need a good education. Enough of this killing. We want peace and change in our nation.
80-year-old Ye resident Michael Modi Apollo is a veteran of the 1955 Anyanya movement. He says the leaders of South Sudan should allow freedom of expression. He says he is not afraid of criticizing South Sudan's leaders.
Let us this time sit down. We correct the mistakes. Let us give our people freedom. Let our people enjoy their fruits. Let them jump. Let them shout. When you go among them, you go like a king. A man who is a ruler is free. He can go in the middle of his people. He can shout like Late Jomo Kenyatta. He can shout like Julius Nyerere. Today, South is independent. We want to enjoy the fruits. And as an elder, I can talk until I die. For the love of my motherland, for the suffering of my people, I will not keep quiet. I will keep my voice until I go to my grave.
Modi advises all South Sudanese to unite for the good of the country. Ye River State Governor Emmanuel Adil Anthony claims the state officials are committed to restoring peace and stability across the state. Adil encourages the residents of Yeetown to celebrate the South Sudan's independence despite the challenges facing many families who are not able to put food on the table for their families.
This is the day we reflect on the brothers who have fallen. This is the day we also remember the suffering of the people who have given up their support for the struggle of this country. The old men and women, the children who woke up early in the morning to cast their vote for independence of South Sudan. And this day, I want to urge our people to reflect on how we became much more united, which is something we need as a people of this state to move forward. Unity of purpose to move together, because that's the only way. Therefore, I also call upon all the people of South Sudan to embrace peace, unity, love.
South Sudanese celebrated the 7th anniversary of the country's independence with their families and friends. There were no official government functions in Juba. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yei.
The Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission has reported that the ruling ZANU-PF improperly used school property, teachers, and students in carrying out political activities. The Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe is asking the judicial system to ban the party from using schools and students ahead of the July 30th election. Reporter Kudzai Venavashi has more details.
Obet Masaraure, the president of the Amalgamated Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, says it already has won a court case against ZANU-PF.
The Masvingo High Court, Justice Mafumafusire, clearly ordered that school children should not be frog-marched into political rallies. School teachers should not also be forced to contribute into private political processes.
Adding to the judgment, the judge ruled that school property such as furniture and buses should not be used for political purposes and banned holding political events on school grounds. Rights groups and the United Nations welcomed the ruling, but ZANU-PF quickly appealed. Lawyer Doug Coulthard represents the teachers' union.
The effect of the appeal is that it suspends the operation of the High Court order. And ever since filing the appeal, ZANU-PF have every single day since filing the appeal have continued with these violations.
He says the violations began immediately after the appeal was filed on July 4th.
On the 5th of July, ZANU-PF officials went to a school in Mazoe and demanded that they be given space for a political rally at the school. That rally went ahead on the school premises. On the 6th of July, there was a series of violations. One in Gokwe, where ZANU-PF had a political rally that was addressed by the president. This rally was held at a primary school.
Coulthard adds that the school was closed for the day and school buses were used to carry people from around the province to attend the rally. Coulthard says it could be a while before the case is heard at the Supreme Court, but the teachers' union Tuesday applied to the court to have the original ruling remain in effect until the appeal is heard.
We will be filing an urgent application, which is called Leave to Execute Pending Appeal. And if we win, essentially what it will mean is that the High Court order will stand, notwithstanding the appeal. So as we wait for the appeal to happen, the High Court order will still be in force.
Zimbabweans go to the polls on the 30th of July. It is a significant election in the country's history, since its ruler of 37 years, Robert Mugabe, and his long-time opponent, the late Morgan Tsvangirai, will not be on the ballot paper. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zunawashe from Harare.
And that's our show for this Tuesday. We leave you with the song Tarazina by Setona. listening to Setona with the song Tarazina. I'm Ayen Deng Buer in Washington. Thanks for being here. We'd like to know what you think about the show. You can contact us at southsudan@voanews.com or reach us on Facebook. Our title is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Yeji fi Khartoum ya kula bidadan wasaka bidara wa ana mara ki sayrada fi yawm al-tinani shufni ana qulu rajidi wanta tawasaru gurusu wa talajjib alay fatur jabalay wai.